I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How do we learn how to forgive? At what age do you learn that skill? And is it possible to not only learn how to possess the grace to forgive another person, but to forgive someone who totally deserves not to be forgiven? So imagine it. A little girl is playing on the playground at recess. She's enjoying the bright sun of a beautiful day, and she decides to get on the swings. There's just one spot left, and so she grabs it. It's a little warm, so she takes off her cardigan sweater and leaves it laying on the ground next to her. And swinging higher and higher, she feels that certain, inexpressible joy of the rush of that cool air all around her. After a few minutes, there's a couple of boys who start lurking nearby. "Let me have your swing," one little boy yells at her. The little girl ignores him. The other boy comes up and tries to physically push her off of the swing, yelling, "This is mine now. Get off of my swing." But she holds on tight and tells him, "Go away." So the two little boys conspire together for a minute, and then they casually walk over to where she has laid her sweater on the ground. "That's a great-looking sweater," one boy says kind of nonchalantly. "I think I'd like to have it." So he picks it up and wraps it around his shoulders and starts to walk away. The little girl panics, and she jumps off the swing and runs after him, yelling, "Give me back my sweater!" Then swiftly, his friend takes the now vacant swing that she has left behind. This little girl's moment of joy has been snatched away. She's lost her swing and her sweater and some of her dignity. For the first time in her innocent, young life, she's been confronted with the sting of betrayal. She has found her very first enemy. Jesus says to us today, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And I think of that little girl, bullied, dejected. And I think, surely you don't mean her, do you, Jesus? Surely she needs to be protected from bullying, not forgiving of it. That's just my first reaction. I want to judge the meanness of the bully more than I want to teach that vulnerable little girl how to forgive. What if she was my sister? What if she was my daughter? Would I teach her the importance of forgiveness even then? It would be so hard to not judge their meanness. But Jesus says, now is not the time for judgment. Now is the time for forgiveness. And it's not just something that she does for the nice, good people in her life. She does this for her enemies. She must forgive them. Even this little girl, even so newly hurt, so newly learning how to play and the rules of propriety and how to stand up for herself, even her. So how can she do that? How can she forgive these two little boys? And what would it mean for her to pray for them or even to love them? You might relate to her. You might have been bullied like this when you were a kid. And hearing me tell this story, you might be looking back on your own childhood and remembering a moment like this. Isn't it surprising how memories like that can feel freshly painful? We've all been hurt by someone or something, and we tend to carry that pain around, even as adults. It's like our minds are just latching onto that thing, and we're not going to let it go. We suffer from bigger betrayals and bigger hurts than a stolen swing or a stolen sweater. Think of the first person who broke your heart. The first time that your best friend totally let you down. The parent who neglected you and failed to be there for you. That stuff stings, right? So think also of our Old Testament reading today and Joseph. You know why his brothers are dismayed at his presence? His brothers kidnapped him and sold him into slavery. Wow, that is huge, traumatic pain that he's bearing. How on earth do you forgive something like that? The writer Anne Lamott has this wonderful essay about a time when she was learning how to forgive. She had had sort of a spiritual epiphany, like all of us do from time to time. She was inspired to start looking around at her life and forgiving some of the people who had hurt her and let go of all that anger and hurt that she was carrying around. But she realized that she couldn't just start with the big wounds. She couldn't start with forgiving someone like, say, Hitler. So she went small. She found an enemy that was a little closer to home, a little enemy, an enemy light is what she called him. This person was a mom in her community playgroup that her son attended. And this enemy light had never really hurt her in any kind of big traumatic way. She was just petty and proud and so annoying. It was excruciating for Anne to be around her because this mom was so condescending. She made Anne feel like she was criticizing her and judging her all the time. And Anne had to see her every day. So she had to work really hard to forgive this enemy. And she said it was like pulling teeth sometimes. So difficult to get close to that. But what she realized in the act of forgiveness is that forgiveness is like a mirror, and it turns the relationship back on to you. Anne was humbled to see that everything that troubled her about this mom was all the stuff that Anne was troubled about herself. She carried all of Anne's worries and burdens and insecurities, and they were just being reflected back every time she saw this woman. It prevented her from seeing this mom's good qualities, her attentiveness, her concern, her presence in her son's life. And so Anne found that she could forgive that. She could forgive this woman's pettiness. And in fact, that forgiveness felt a little bit like light as a feather once she realized this mom was just like her. She's worried about her parenting. She's lonely. She's struggling to keep up with expectations. She saw this mom's humanity. I wanted to kiss her on both cheeks, Anne wrote. I wanted to apologize for all the self-contempt I'd been spewing out into the world, all of the bad juju I was putting on her, thinking that she was the one who was doing the harm. So how do we learn how to forgive? Practice. Lots and lots of practice. Lots of little moments when you realize the humanity of other people. When we experience pain, that pain lets your brain disassociate from the humanity of the other person. And it becomes possible for you to completely dehumanize another person. You can make that situation out to be bigger than it is. You can see that person as a monster when really they're just a human being, just like you, who messes up and doesn't get it right all the time. Forgiveness expands your heart, even in the worst situations. I mean, think of Joseph forgiving this awful betrayal, this incredible hate that he experienced from his brothers. And in our time, think about, you know, Mother Emmanuel Church in Charleston. Think about the Amish community that experienced these violent shootings and murders. They found the space to forgive. And they did that because they were already in the habit of doing so. Forgiveness was the culture of their community. It was the core. It was the very center of their faith. So think for a minute, not about the big wounds in your life, but think about taking up a practice of forgiveness with some of the smaller wounds. Who is your enemy light? Who is that one person who just drives you crazy? Who is it? Imagine what it would be like to forgive them. You may not be ready to go to the places of the bigger wounds and to think about forgiveness of some of the things that have really deeply hurt you. I get that. So start by practicing forgiveness on an enemy light. Because we've all got one. I don't care how nice a person you are, you've got an enemy light. Think about, I mean, even here in church, has anyone ever sat in your pew, like right on the edge, and refused to move over even when you give them some side eye? Has anyone shown up to your small group and irritated you? Has anyone come up to you at the donut table and wants to gloat about that basketball game when your team lost and their team won and you just want to punch them? There you go. That is your enemy light. And they need your forgiveness. In fact, you need to forgive, to set your soul right again, to see that that person is a beloved child of God. And that doesn't make you a doormat. That doesn't mean that you are ignoring that very real pain was inflicted. But your heart needs to unload that burden. And the way to do that is forgiveness. And if you do it often enough, over and over again, you just might find yourself in a place where you can start to think about forgiving the biggest hurts in your life. Jesus says in John's gospel, "I have come to bring you abundant life." In Luke, he says to the blind man, "Go, your faith has made you well." My brothers and sisters, do you feel well? Are you living abundant life? If you're not sure how to answer that question, start looking around to the people in your life that you need to forgive. And it might be some small interaction, and it might also be something big, something hugely painful. That pain has a weight. And Jesus says to you, you don't have to carry that weight any longer. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Show others the light and the love that you have seen, even if they don't deserve it, even if they never know that you have forgiven them. Forgive as you have been forgiven. The love of God compels you to reach out beyond yourself, and that means leaving behind every little hurt that you have been nursing. Leave that pain behind and embrace the love that Christ offers. The measure that you give will be the measure that you receive. And what that means is that God is never outdone in generosity. If you are generous in things like compassion and love, even in the ugliest of interactions, then your soul will be filled. And it will be filled back tenfold. Your burden will be lifted. And by the grace of God, your life will be abundant. Amen.